Hello, this is T.A. Baron. I don't know much about wizards, but I have learned this much. They are full of surprises. Almost a decade ago, as I finished writing a book called The Merlin Effect, which follows a single strand of Arthurian lore from ancient Druid times all the way to the 21st century, I realized that the strand had tangled me up so completely I couldn't possibly escape. The strand was Merlin himself. Oh, he is a truly captivating and mysterious fellow, this wizard who can live backward in time, defy the legendary threefold death, and even seek the Holy Grail while still speaking with the spirit of rivers and trees. I realized I really wanted to get to know him better. Now, whether Merlin was ever real or not, in the realm of history, a question people have hotly debated, he is certainly real in the realm of imagination. There he has long lived, and there he continues to thrive. And best of all, he even welcomes visitors on occasion. So before I could even start to protest, Merlin made his own plans for me. My other books and projects had to wait. He was ready, no, eager, to reveal at last the secret story of his lost years. To be sure, I knew well that making even a small contribution to his already rich body of legend would be a daunting challenge. But I was very curious, and Merlin was very insistent. Then came the wizard's first surprise. As I immersed myself in the traditional tales, stretching back to the ancient Celtic sagas first set down 1,000 years ago in the Mabinogion, I found a huge gap in the lore. Merlin's youth, that crucial time when he would have discovered his own identity, his own origins, and his own powers, was mentioned only fleetingly, if at all. Where he first tasted sorrow, first found joy, first gained a particle or two of wisdom, all that remained unexplored. And so I started to wonder about young Merlin's life. What were his greatest struggles, his deepest fears, his highest aspirations? How did he discover his true passions and his hidden gifts? How did he come to know and ultimately accept his own dark side? Where did he first encounter the spirituality of the Druids, the early Christians, and even the Greeks? How did he reconcile his own yearning for power and his horror at its abuses? In sum, just how did he become the wizard and mentor to King Arthur we celebrate today? These questions are not answered by the traditional lore. No, their answers lie somewhere else. You see, Merlin's youth disappeared from the world of story and song for one simple reason. In those years, Merlin himself disappeared from the world as we know it. That is why they truly are his lost years. The story, spanning several volumes, begins not with a wizard, but with a boy. A boy who, barely alive, washes ashore on the coast of Wales. Bedraggled and half-drowned, he has no memory at all of his past. Not his parents, not his childhood, not even his own name. And the story concludes when that same boy, having gained a lot and lost even more, is ready at last to step into his central role in Arthurian legend, to be the greatest wizard of all times, the Mage of Camelot, the man we call Merlin. In between, a lot happens. Merlin makes some very good friends and one very bad enemy. He discovers his second sight, but pays dearly for it. He learns the languages of trees and how to run with the grace of a deer. He finds the original Stonehenge, though he first must learn the meaning of Stonehenge's druid name, Dance of the Giants. He gains, at last, the name Merlin, as well as his true soul name. And he voyages to the lost Isle of Finkeira, known in Celtic myth as an island beneath the waves, a bridge between earth and heaven. This place was best described by Merlin's mother, who called it an in-between place, much like the mist swirling about its shores, which was neither quite water nor quite air, but something of both, and yet something else entirely. Finchaira, too, is in between. It is both mortal and immortal, dark and light, fragile and everlasting. Just how fragile it truly is, Merlin will discover. It is the journey of Merlin's lost years that made him ready for what lies ahead, that prepared him for his role as mentor to King Arthur, whose idealistic goals would fail in his own realm, but would lodge forever in the realm of the heart. For in his lost years, Merlin truly becomes a wizard of many worlds and many times. Do you think that half-drowned boy who is spat out by the sea in the opening scene could have guessed his own remarkable future? No, not at all. And so the story begins with these words. If I close my eyes and breathe to the rolling rhythm of the sea, I can still remember that long ago day. Harsh, cold, and lifeless it was, as empty of promise as my lungs were empty of air. And yet, Merlin did find great promise and great triumph, and that, I believe, is his biggest surprise. For the lad who washed ashore on that fateful day was more than just a boy. He was truly a metaphor for us all. Perhaps, like that boy, each and every one of us has some hidden gifts. They may be invisible to everyone, even ourselves, and yet remain there, just waiting to be discovered. And who knows, perhaps, like that boy, we have a bit of magic as well. Magic that just might hold the makings of a wizard. So come with me now as Merlin reveals to us, at last, the story of his lost years. In this journey, you are the witness, I am the scribe, and Merlin himself is our guide. But let us beware, for a wizard, as we know, is full of surprises.